Hey everybody, this is the Cosmic Fire Podcast, episode 2. I'm Kairos.
And I'm Phoenix. And today, we're going to be talking to visionary artist Aaron Aquarian.
You were just listening to what I believe is the world premiere of a rough mix, the album's not even completely done yet, of a song called Four of Swords from Aaron's Matriarchal Rage Doom Pop outfit.
Void Realm.
So Aaron's going to be talking to us about all sorts of cool stuff, including her journey through the tarot.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about some astro psychic weather.
We are. It's Mercury retrograde.
Oh, yeah.
You probably know that by now. If you don't, it's time to come out from... stay under that rock until March 9th when Mercury goes direct. We got a new moon in Pisces on Sunday, February 23rd, I believe, at 10:32 in the morning, something like that, 10:32 Eastern time, 7:32 a.m. Pacific. That new moon falls at 4 degrees Pisces and change, so it's in the 5th degree of Pisces. So I want to tell you a little bit about the new moon, and then maybe we can hit some of what we're experiencing with the Mercury retrograde collectively and take it from there.
Does that sound good? That sounds great.
Okay, so I got to give some props to Lorna over at Hair in the Moon Astrology in the UK for turning me on to John Sandbach's work. John Sandbach is an astrologer from Australia. He's also a poet. He's an incredibly beautiful writer, writing short form masterpieces in the form of 360 degree symbols times about 5. I think he's got 5 different vibrational levels of degree symbols. Anyway, the degree symbol for the 5th degree of Pisces, where the new moon is on Sunday, is dyers at work with many vats of different colors. Keywords are global transformation, contemplation. This degree likes to work with a wide spectrum of vibrations. This is the omega symbol, so the highest vibrational symbol. It is very imaginative and wants to bring its inner visions down into physical reality. It is looking to make the world a brighter place and to transmute all negative emotions into their spiritual counterparts. Fear becoming faith, anger becoming love, and sadness becoming joy. It seeks to remove the veil of drabness from everyday life to allow the wonder of nature to shine forth. I feel like we're under a veil of drabness right now.
Yeah, I was laughing about the same thing because we're in Atlanta right now as we're recording this, and we've been living in Miami Beach, and we come here, and it's just super gloomy and dark and gray.
It's been raining. I mean, just the whole backyard of the Airbnb where we're staying is a lake. And it's cold, it's rainy, it's foggy.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the wonders of nature will shine forth. I believe that. The Chandra symbol for this degree. So I think I didn't even realize this until last week when I was looking something up. But John Sandbach says that the Omega symbol is like 11th house in astrology. So it's like hopes and dreams for the future, like the highest thing that we could manifest. And that the Chandra symbols are more like 7th house. So they're more like day-to-day relationship kind of things. So the Chandra symbol is thousands of gold nuggets glistening at the bottom of a clear stream. When you allow emotions to flow forth and be whatever they want to be, letting go of any attachment to them, but without repressing them, they can wash away confusion and disillusion and leave behind the realization of what is truly important and of value. This degree is about allowing cleansing processes to happen. It is also about allowing meaning to emerge from life by joyously going one's own way spontaneously until all becomes clear.
Whoa.
That's cool, huh?
Those both feel really potent. Like, I'm glad that there's something that's going to wash away the confusion, because I feel like a lot of people are feeling that right now, and they're using that to stop themselves from being that channel that's bringing that energy through, bringing it down to earth. And I mean, that to me seems like the gift of, well, life in general, but especially what I'm noticing right now coming up in sessions. And for me personally, there's this big tendency to procrastinate and keep putting things off. But it's really important that we just, you know, feel those difficult feelings that we've been putting off our whole life, or do that art project, or, you know, I just recently devoted myself again to doing a daily dance practice. And I hit resistance sometimes, but I know that that's what I need to do right now.
How do you see people, like, you kind of said avoiding being that channel of like, one of the first things I remember about meeting you is, I think that's one of the first things that we talked about is, you know, it's something that I've been seeing as the way things work for several years, but you really crystallized it for me. And I felt like you were really holding that in your energy field of what we're here to do isn't to transcend the heaviness and the limitations of the earthly plane. Even though, as a Pisces sun, happy birthday to me, by the way.
Yeah.
It's my birthday.
It is.
You know, I would like to just kind of fly up and away and etherize myself, but that, you know, what we're here to do is to bring heaven down to earth, like John Steinbeck says, to ground the higher potentials, higher energies into the earth realm.
Yeah. And I mean, that might just be part of my deal with the chart that I chose for this lifetime, because I've really worked in that Pisces Virgo thing hard. And, you know, I think that's it. You know, we need to go into the oneness and out of that kind of concrete linear mindset to get our inspiration, right? To have those dreams and visions, to create something outside of the already existing reality. But then if we don't have that, you know, application of these spiritual principles in our day-to-day lives in that, like, you know, Virgo sense of like bringing it down to earth, and what are we doing?
Yeah. Or I would say like any of the earth sign sense, right? And it, yeah. It's interesting that in the new moon chart, so, you know, just if for any of you who are new to astrology, Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac, the dreamer, you know, the all is one, universal compassion, wants to dissolve out of the ego self and into the field of oneness. Does that negatively through drugs, drinking, living in a fantasy world, daydreaming, sort of, you know, avoiding reality. And positively does that by what we're just talking about, by, you know, centering itself and bringing in these more beautiful, creative, so many Pisces are artists, you know, yeah. I mean, I think we're all artists, but so, new moon, end of an old cycle, beginning of a new cycle. And this new moon makes really close, really nice vibrations to Mars and Capricorn. So I think we talked about this last week. We talked about it in our, Mercury retrograde video, which you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
Where can people find that?
www.cosmicfire.org.
It's under the news section. Is that correct? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
The blog?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I heard about that site. A lot of people are talking about that.
Yeah. They say that the org stands for orgasm, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Wow. That makes me really want to check it out, though. Okay, so we're going to take a short break. No, I'm just kidding. We will take a break in a bit here. But you know, earth signs, Pisces is a water sign, so all about feeling. So I think this energy of whenever we're in Pisces, you know, if you're a Pisces native or you have planets in Pisces in your chart, that's going to be where you tend to feel everything. And it's overwhelming. You know, it's overwhelming to be a Pisces. That's why we complain so much about how hard it is.
Or explain. Some people would say you're just explaining.
Yeah, that's why we have to explain. It was your tone. We should post a link to that on the podcast page. Can we do that? We'll post a link to Benny Drama's being a Pisces.
Dating a Pisces. Oh,
dating a Pisces. Yeah. Be like, yeah. It was your tone, dear. water sign, feeling it, you know, and when we're in the sign of Pisces, to some extent, we're all going to be in that deeply emotional, you know, more sensitive, more psychic than usual place. And this new moon, so new beginning, makes really strong aspects to Mars and Capricorn. So Mars is the warrior, Capricorn is structure, and to Uranus and Taurus. So Taurus is the sign of the earth. Uranus is the awakener, the enlightener. And I feel like there's just this really beautiful energy in this new moon that is actually set up. You know, so when John Steinbeck channeled these symbols, he wasn't looking at every Pisces new moon or full moon, you know, for 40 years, right? He was just channeling in. But I feel like this is really resonant with where we are as a collective. And, you know, so Mercury's retrograde, so things are kind of like, you know, we're kind of backwashing or whirlpooling in the river at times, and we have to be willing to take it slow because Mercury's trying to help us make course corrections. And at the same time, I think that it's really valuable to tune into, you know, when you have a vision, well, first of all, letting go of the old emotions, right? Is like the quickest way to get to joy, to get to happiness, to get to, you know, back into the positive place. And also to clear out the system, because there are these beautiful images and visions, both for you, you know, who you can be in your life, what you can do with your time here, and then also for the collective.
Yeah, and I think like when we talk about clearing negative emotions, it's like there can be this attitude of, we got to get rid of this. We got to get rid of this negativity. We got to clear all the negative stuff. And that can lead to kind of like a wanting to get like an attachment to having to ditch something. And the way that we actually release it is by going deeper into it. So we have to actually bring, I mean, this is like kind of a metaphor for the symbol too. It's like bringing our I Am presence into that place, which is a place of like wounding that happened on this earth plane. So it's like bringing our spiritual being, our I Am being, into that place and being with that trauma, being with that pain, being with the uncomfortable feelings in our bodies is actually what releases the negativity and transmutes it into, you know, something beautiful.
So we're really excited to have our very first interview guest on the Cosmic Fire podcast. Somebody who really has a really interesting slant on how you make something beautiful out of things that can start out not so beautiful.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Our guest today is artist and radical spiritual activist, Erin Aquarian. She's a full-time witch and a lyricist singer in matriarchal rage dune pop band Void Realm. Erin uses tarot as a tool for healing and empowerment and crafts virtual rituals, spells, and classes to share her magical teachings and to facilitate world change. Thank you for being here, Erin.
Thank you for having me, Cosmic.
Thank you for allowing me to introduce you.
Introducing me. That was such a nice introduction.
Almost seems like you guys have interacted before. Am I just picking up? What's that?
Never met her in my life.
Okay. Yeah, I me neither. I mean, she just like showed up one day and it's like, oh, she's very comfortable.
Like a gift from the heavens. I'm here to share magical introductions with everyone. Actually, that was really fun. I think there's something about somebody else introducing you and coming up with their own language for what you do, that's really a gift. I had somebody do it for me one time, and it felt really good. And to kind of hear somebody else's take on my work was cool too.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like a nice affirmation, you know, to like have somebody.
Catherine Taylor, who's like one of the pioneers of inner child work, has had me on a radio show a bunch of times, and she wrote up a little short bio of stuff, and I was just like, that's the best bio ever. I'm totally stealing that and using it. I was like,
So anybody out there who would ever use a bio for anything, here's a pro tip: have someone else write it for you.
There you go.
Someone who likes you, though.
Yes. And I don't know why, because we've never met before, but I'm like already obsessed with you. But since I don't know that much about you, Aaron, I was wondering if you could share with me and with Kairos here and our listeners, you know, I read this intro that I wrote, but I don't really know like what inspires your art and your work in the world. So maybe you can share that.
Like, how did you come about inventing matriarchal rage doom pop as a genre? And how'd you get into tarot? And is Aaron Aquarian your real birth name? And I mean, just tell us everything.
It's my mystical pseudonym, I guess, that actually has like a awkward origin story, but
tell us that.
Boy. Okay, well, a few years ago I was dipping my toe into the cesspool that is Tinder. And one of the people who I had matched with on Tinder had put me in their phone as Aaron Tinder. And then after like hanging out a couple of times, they were like, oh, I should change your name like from Aaron Tinder, like now that we're like hanging out. And then they changed my name in their phone to Aaron Aquarian. And I also was putting like my Tinder matches in my phone as like their name with their sign after, or like some other descriptive thing. So yes, like my mystical pseudonym that is now like my career came out of a Tinder date.
I love it.
Dubbed me Aaron Aquarian, but I also like felt like I came up with it too. Like they just like channeled it for me.
Yeah.
And then I just started going by that because like my real name like doesn't feel like, I've always felt like my name Aaron doesn't even fit me, but I don't want to change it. Cause like I've never like felt a connection to a different name that wouldn't feel like cheesy or obnoxious to be like, I'm going by this now. Even though like my whole life, my name Aaron just like doesn't feel like it makes sense to me or it is me, but I don't know.
What's the same way? When I was a kid, I started changing my name at age 4. I wanted a cowboy name, you know, back then I was like, you know, now I would just culturally appropriate a Native American name, but back then I didn't know better. So I wanted a name like Pete. I think Pete was one, and Bill. Like those were like strong cowboy names. But I never, like, my birth name just never worked for me from early on.
Why is Pete a cowboy name?
I think because like Captain Green Jean or Captain Kangaroo's sidekick, Mr. Green Jeans, I think his real name was Pete. He wasn't a cowboy, he was like a maintenance man or something, but I don't know. I was just like,
okay.
He was cool, you know, so I was like, I have no idea.
Yeah, last episode we talked about the origins of our code names, Phoenix and Kairos, and recently found out that apparently Cosmic Fire has its own secret code name. And it was something that, like, one of the members channeled. Like, I love this group because there's so many creative people and so many people channeling things. And I mean, you never know, a Tinder date could, you know, channel your mystical name for you.
Yeah. Everything's magic. We're all about body positivity and sex positivity and husband fire too. So Tinder friendly. Oh.
That's why I'm not wearing pants right now.
That's right. We probably won't include that video, but who knows? So no, seriously though, like I'd love to know more about, you know, the genre of music that you play. And I'd also love to know how you got into tarot.
Well, I got into tarot in 2008. I moved to Portland, Oregon, and the friends that I were staying with, one of them gave me a reading, and it was the first reading I ever had. And it like came at a point in my life where like I was at like a crossroads, but I didn't know it. And I didn't know or understand like what it meant to be an adult child of like a dysfunctional and traumatic upbringing. Like, and I didn't know that like the patterns that I was experiencing were just the same pattern of my growing up experience. And I really just felt like a victim because I was a victim, you know, but like I hadn't been helped or assisted to get out of that trap where you're just like reliving the same nightmare over and over again from like one job to the next, from one relationship to the next, because like the world as we know it, as we've experienced it, is set up to keep us like in this trap, you know, like so that we just stay like a complicit member of an oppressive status quo. And like basically fear operating. So the tarot kind of like interrupted that trance, I guess, and like helped me like reconnect with some sense of being seen by like a benevolent and compassionate force in the universe that was like, you know, in the cards, it was just like they reflected back to me that I was in pain, you know, and like I really think that's why tarot is such a catalyst experience, you know, or maybe like astrology or any modality that's really about like witnessing someone who, and then giving them like compassion and encouragement, like as opposed to like blaming them or like shaming them for their troubles, you know? And so I think that's why it like was like this initial experience that just helped me like move a little bit forward and become interested in like tarot and seek out to learn more about it. Like I just really like it clicked and it made sense to me even before it made sense. And I was like seeking to understand it through reading books and like taking this like really intellectual, like, is it left brain or right brain approach to like, oh, I need to get this right, you know? And like over years and years and years of practice, like it came to help me soften that sort of like programmed way that we interact with like learning, you know, and like growth to be like, it's a messy process of trial and error, not something that we're being graded on, you know? So like, I just come back to it again and again, because like nothing else worked for me to like stick with. And like as a college dropout, like who, like I'm very passionate about learning, like I just have to learn on my own terms, on my own time frame. And like, so the tarot became like a way for me to like learn and grow in a like non-abusive, like non-oppressive way. And I mean, I didn't know it then, but it was just like I was calling in like a reason to live and like a purpose to live for. And it just like came and showed up. And I was like 26, 27 years old. So I was like about to hit my Saturn return, and I was feeling all this pressure around like, what am I doing with my life? I have to figure it out, because like my friends are like buying houses and, you know, like their careers are taking off or whatever. So I felt like I had to figure my shit out too. And I had this really like programmed, I guess, response I see now to my relationship with tarot. Like, oh, I can't just do this like and not have like have it be the thing that I do for work or money or whatever. But I guess like the tarot has been my biggest tool in like deprogramming and the archetypes. I think that people who work with tarot or astrology or whatever, like it's like we all have our unique and perspective that comes through, like as our relationship with the modality matures and becomes really authentic and like aligned with our sense of purpose and like what work we're here to do with this modality. Like it's always a little bit different, but that like through my journey with tarot, like it's just been my ally in helping me like be who I came here to be and release all this programming or like from society and from trauma and abuse. That's like, you don't get to have your worldview. Like you don't get to have your interests and your like authentic self, like exist and take up any space in your life. Because I was so oriented towards helping others, like I just immediately wanted to give readings to others. And, you know, over time, like I really had to learn how to do my work and not just distract myself, trying to help other people do theirs or make a career out of that. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think it came to me as like a guide and teacher. And now the way that I work with it is like, it is a guide and a teacher, like, and the archetypes, they offer us like wisdom that no human ever has, because like we're part of a time on the planet where like we're the ones trying to bring, well, those of us who are like not members of like an indigenous culture, you know, because I feel like in indigenous cultures, like there is still a present wisdom tradition. Like tarot contains wisdom, and I feel like as a white person lacking elders or any sort of spiritual traditions that I could connect with that weren't like me appropriating other people's traditions, other cultures' traditions, like tarot was a space for me to just like learn and grow and evolve and kind of like be more confident in who I've always been, you know, because I was really like born this way. I mean, my favorite movie when I was two was Robin Hood. So capitalism and, you know, this like social order that like robs from the poor to feed the rich, you know, and treats, you know, humans and other life forms like abusively and exploits them, you know? So that was like a long-winded tangent. But for me, like tarot just was the thing that showed up to help me like be who I am and do what I came here to do and to like pass that on to as many people as I can.
You're listening to the Cosmic Fire podcast. Our special guest, Erin Aquarian, is not only an accomplished tarot reader and a purveyor of spells to break the cycle of oppression as Full-Time Witch on Instagram at Full-Time Witch. She's also the singer and songwriter in the matriarchal rage doom pop band Void Realm. This is a rough mix from their upcoming album called, appropriately enough, Four of Swords.
Of the storm, of all the things to find.
So if you like that, tune in to the end of the show where we play the climactic ending of Four of Swords by Void Realm. And now we'll get back to our interview with Erin Aquarian.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate this explanation of, you know, how tarot came to you and how you work with it and what it's given to you, because there's something about like this feeling that I get listening to you describe this, because I think there's still to this day a lot of people out there who aren't connecting with divination tools as a way of connecting with, you know, higher self, source intelligence, the archetypes,
wisdom,
you know, or like as a way of learning something, you know, which I really get from what you shared. But it's like they're more looking for some kind of fix, you know. And yeah. I think that addictive nature of our culture is pretty rampant.
And I think like everybody's like an astrologer or a tarot reader now, you know. And like, which is really cool. It's way better than it was 15, 20 years ago. But I also feel like it is a journey. Your story reminded me of my story with astrology, and it's a journey. I thought I was completely crazy. Like, why am I so obsessed with this? You know, I wasn't even thinking about making a career or work out of it. I'm just like, I couldn't stop obsessively learning about astrology, but I thought like, I was like, you know, but yeah, you go through, like, you have to put the time in, right, with the archetypes, and you have to get to know them and let them communicate to you in your own way.
Well, tarot is a tool of wisdom and mastery. And so, like, on one hand, I'm all about, like, destroying hierarchy of all kinds. And so, like, as someone with 12 years of experience, like, I'm not better at tarot than someone with 1 day of experience, you know? But, like, also, I have experience. And, like, I've integrated, like, my experience is, like, I understand, like, the tarot, and I'm not regurgitating other people's teachings and downloads, because, like, I've worked with it, and I've developed my own relationship, and, like, it gives me a unique set of teachings that might be sort of similar or aligned with other teachers, but, like, I know that, like, what comes through my channel is unique and authentic to me and my experience. And like, I think so often, like, I'm all for people getting into modalities and like starting an astrology or a tarot practice. So it's like, that's part of your learning process. And I also have recognized in my own journey, like when I was new and starting out, like I didn't know what I know now. And I did do a lot of like taking from other people's work, like, because I didn't have my own yet. And that's also part of our programming and also part of like colonialist, capitalist, like consumer culture that like teaches us we don't have to do the hard work. Like we, you know, like in the spiritual industry and the self-help industry, we see this like gross exploitation of like the dysfunction of our culture being profited off by these like six-figure, like multi-level marketing, like spiritual entrepreneurs and life coaches who are just selling like
somebody else's offices.
Yeah. Who just want some help and want some support, and also are like, oh, like work with me and then you can have a six-figure coaching business too in like 1 minute, you know? So it's like, I mean, and what you said too, people are looking for a quick fix. It's like, yeah, like, of course, we all are looking for a quick fix to this. Yeah. That's literally the worst part of being a space holder, is when someone comes to you like looking for you to solve a lifetime and lifetimes of problems overnight or like in one session. It's like, I can't do that. And that's why I don't even do readings anymore. Like, I'm a teacher and like, here's my teachings and here's my work and here's what I'm offering, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be okay, because it probably isn't going to be okay right now. Like, look at what's happening on the planet. Does it seem like things are going to be okay? You know, we have like a insane amount of corruption in our political systems. We have people of color being murdered by the police. Does this like seem like it's okay to you? And like, do we think if we're in positions of privilege that that same oppressive force isn't coming for us? Like we, you know, are aware of how fascism has played out like over time, and everyone thinks like it's not going to happen to me until it does, you know? And so that's what's happening right now. And so like, as a reader, it's like finding a way to like talk about these subjects with people so we can be calm and grounded in how we want to respond to like what's happening on the planet. Like, you know, it's like, I believe in like, there's some kind of energetic turnover happening, but I also believe that we really need to be awake and present for all of the crazy fucked up shit that's going on, and like do our part, our due diligence as like humans trying to be here in a good way, you know? So I guess like my work as a tarot reader, like at the beginning, it was sort of like more a spiritual bypass than really like, I didn't have the tools to deal with all of the painful emotions that come up when we're paying attention, you know, like not only to our own trauma and like the pain of our lived experience, but what we're witnessing in the world as such like injustice and tragedy and suffering is happening. So, I mean, just like I use my creativity to help me cope, but it's really, it's a challenge, you know, to be here. And I say that knowing that I'm in such a position of privilege, but we can't say the same for many of like our human family members and, you know, the animals that we like exploit. I guess like my own like maturity and mastery process with working with the cards were really about learning to be honest with myself about what's going on in my own life, and to hold a space of kind of like radical honesty for a client to like move past this like expectation of like, life isn't uncomfortable, life isn't hard, like I should get to be like happy and like never be, I mean, my Capricorn rising is just like super like sorry guys, like sorry to rain on the parade, but you know, like the rapture isn't coming to save us, like just because, you know, I don't know. I digress.
You lake of fire.
No, but I think this is a good point. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's definitely like a lot of negativity, and there's a lot of impulse to bypass. And so, and at the same time, it is true that if we only focus on the negativity, then we can't actually like take care of ourselves and our inner children and do the deep, like deprogramming and trauma healing that needs to happen for us to, you know, because if we dwell too much on like how incredibly fucked up everything is, then, you know, we probably end up feeling paralyzed. Like, what can I do? You know? So I think that's why like having a focus on like, okay, we're using this as a tool for healing. We're using it for teaching ourselves like how to be empowered, how to channel the energy of these archetypes, and how to, you know, get free of this trauma that's so paralyzing so that we can, you know, be a force to be reckoned with, you know, so that we can take on some of these bigger issues. And I really feel like, you know, for me, if each and every one of us did this, then, you know, of course it would change the whole world.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Erin. We're actually going to do part 2 on the next podcast with Erin Aquarian. She really opened up about her personal struggles to make music and, you know, just a really beautiful kind of personal story that I think you'll really enjoy. So, you know, come back 2 weeks from now at the, whatever that would be,
Virgo full moon.
And if you like the podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Come over to cosmicfire.org and you can subscribe there. Tell your friends.
Yeah. And we even have an Instagram for Cosmic Fire now, the Cosmic Fire, at T-H-E-E Cosmic Fire. And if you want to check out what Erin's doing, please check her out. She has so many amazing offerings. Her website is erinaquarian.com. And she's on Instagram posting all kinds of really great stuff at Full Time Witch.
All right. Until next time, this is Kairos.
And Phoenix.
Saying...
It takes yum to know yum. See you next time.
It's too simple.